You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best fans in the NFL, and you know who you are, you need your gear. So shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop with new arrivals each week. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Get all geared up for two big home games that are ahead for this football team. Sunday, of
course. Also makes great holiday presents.
And you got great, great gift ideas. Very nicely done, Nathan. Way to drop that in. Like
Thank
a, the professional broadcaster
Dynamite drop
that you
in.
Are. That was called a drop in the industry, folks. So you've got Christmas presents. You can show support and spirit for these next couple of games. And anyway, we've got with us right now someone who frequents this show, and I mean, we're so glad she does. She knows this Browns team inside and out. Covers it for Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She is Mary Kay Cabot. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you doing?
Very well. We could be doing better if the Browns had done a little bit better against the Cincinnati Bengals. Mary Kay, what were your big takeaways from that game for this Browns team?
You know what? I will tell you, the one thing that keeps on running through my head after that game is this. A lot of quarterbacks start games very, very slowly. We saw Andy Dalton do the same thing. But Jason Campbell never had an opportunity to try to get into that rhythm or to figure out how to find a mismatch with that defense because of what happened in that second quarter. So I think everybody's like throwing Jason Campbell under the bus and saying, oh, well, he really is washed up after all. You know what? Quarterbacks do not necessarily always start a game fast. We saw that in Kansas City with him. But a lot of them have an opportunity to redeem themselves in the game later. He never got that chance.
What's your feel now, a few days after the fact, of this team's ability to rebound? Because it really seems like kind of a delicate psychological balancing thing here, because so much was poured into that game, its magnitude. And we all talked about that. The players understood that. The coaches understood that. And now you got to ask them to refocus onto the Steelers, which shouldn't be a hard refocus, but I would think there could be some lingering questions, even maybe a little doubt here and there, that the ultimate conclusion is they didn't step up to the full, as a team, to that full step-up challenge they had last week.
Well, there's good leadership on this team. There's DeQuell Jackson. We know, you know, what he brings to the table each and every week to get guys focused. And then you've got Jason Campbell on the other side of the ball. So there's enough leadership. And it's Steelers week. I mean, anybody, all they have to do is go out to dinner or lunch to know that this game is the biggest one of the season for the fans. So I don't think it'll be too bad from that standpoint. When I look back again to last week, and I said this in the pregame show last week, mm-hmm. I was concerned that they were going to come out a little bit flat coming off the bye week. I think it's a very easy thing to do. I actually think that they would have been better off coming off that Baltimore victory and going straight into another game instead of kind of going home, chilling out a little bit. And they did. They came out flat.
Still, we're up 13-0. I'll take that kind of a start. They just need to be able to execute a little bit better. One thing, though, that came through in the game is that the defense, again, played brilliantly. Got off the field on 13 out of 14 third downs, really limited. All the stats, if you just looked at the stats and never looked at the score, you'd think that the Cleveland Browns probably had a good chance to win that game, because how could Cincinnati possibly have scored enough points? Unfortunately, we know that was not the case, but this defense is playing well. Gets a challenge now with a guy in Ben Roethlisberger, who's thrown for over 380 yards, four touchdowns in two of his last three games. I know you got to hear from the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier today. How do you see this matchup playing out, and what did Ben have to say?
Well, you know what, Ben, one of the things that Ben said today was, and I had to ask him to repeat it because I wasn't sure that, you know, that I caught it right the first time, and that is that the Browns defense presents him with his biggest and toughest challenge to date. He sees no weaknesses. He praised, of course, Joe Hayden, and he just went on and on about this Browns defense. And I think if you look at this past game, you know, the facts and the statistics bear that out. Again, I look back to that Cincinnati game, and what do I see? I see special teams breakdowns that cost them that football game. So, you know, you can't say enough about how well the defense played, even though T.J. Ward was saying today, no, you know, we gave up touchdowns in the red zone. You can say that all you want, but, you know, when you're starting on such a short field, you know, how much can you ask of a defense in those types of situations? So, you know, I think the defense played well and has some momentum going into this game. And, you know, I think that, you know, the offense, you know, I think there are still some signs of good life there, and I think they should be okay too.
It's funny. I think Ben is in a trend now of really heaping a lot of praise and talk on the opposing defense. Like I'm sure he's sincere, and why shouldn't he be as good as the Browns' defense has played? But when you think about what he said last week before they faced the Lions, and he was expressing this fear for his safety and his health. Again, Ndamukong Suh, yeah, Nick Fairley, that's all legit. But I thought he played that card very heavily, and it just sounds like he may be just doing that a little bit again, because how could he not take notice of Joe Haden and what Joe did to A.J. Green? And maybe this is as much to psych up himself or his best attempts to throw those compliments to soften the Browns a little bit.
Yeah, he's becoming Lou Holtz. Remember Lou?
Yeah.
Remember Lou Holtz used to do that before every game?
Yeah.
But no, you're right. I mean, I'm sure that you know, that he was, you know, very complimentary. I mean, I thought that that was quite a bold statement to say. Again,
yeah.
Coming off some of the defenses, obviously, that they have played this season, to throw that kind of a bouquet at the Browns defense. So, but, you know, he didn't take it back when I asked him to repeat it. And I know that these guys, Ben Roethlisberger is 15-1 against the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, it adds, so he's looking to improve to 16-1.
That's a conversation stopper right there.
Right?
It is not a good stat. And as you look, the Browns have only beaten the Steelers twice since 2003. Yeah. That's not good. And Ben Roethlisberger is playing very well. But we were talking earlier with Solomon Wilcots, and he's saying, you know, with the aging of the Steelers defense, they can give up some big plays. And in fact, over the last 3 weeks, they've given up 5 passing touchdowns of 19 yards or more, 3 of 30 yards or more, and 2 of 75 yards or more. Can the Browns get a big play from Josh Gordon? Yes. Can they get it from anybody else, though, against the Steelers defense?
Well, you know what? They've got to get rolling with Jordan Cameron. You got to get Jordan Cameron back on track. He's got to get back to making some big plays. And so, you know, you've got to go for that matchup. You have to find some weaknesses there. And again, when you look back to this Cincinnati game, those are some of the things that I think that they didn't get a chance to figure out. After stalling in the red zone a couple of times, they never got an opportunity to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, look, we're getting this guy singled up over here, or Jordan Cameron, you know, we can get him going, you know, over the middle a little bit. They never got an opportunity to do that. It's time to get Jordan Cameron somehow back into the game, and then you got to have, you know, you got to have one of those games like Greg Little had, you know, a couple of weeks ago, where he is just going up and fighting for that ball and never saying die. And, you know, they're at home, and I think that there's just something about them, you know, playing at home. They're getting very, very tough at home.
You know, it's interesting. We bring up Jordan Cameron. By the way, we're talking with Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. We had on our website a two-minute drill, or daily feature. Jameer Howerton got a chance to pull Jordan Cameron aside on Monday. And I don't know if he had said this to the general group of reporters as well, but one of the things that jumped out at me, it was a very subtle thing, but he referenced communication problem and in talking about the struggles of this offense. And he didn't go into specifics, but it seemed to tie into a reference of communication, I think, between quarterback and receivers more so than sideline to quarterback, you know, coaches to quarterback. So whatever that is, it didn't sound good. It didn't sound like the type of thing that you want to hear 10 games into a season, and it certainly sounded like the kind of thing that shouldn't happen if you're talking about the experience that you have with Jason Campbell at quarterback, and that, again, that this offense, this coaching staff, they've had this all in place for a while, and I wonder why now there could be communication issues of any kind, but it seemed to indicate to me that Jordan Cameron is uncomfortable with something because it's showing up in his play.
Well, you know what, we'll have to, you know, explore that a little more. I have not heard him say that, but again, you are on the third quarterback of the season.
Yeah.
And you know, and you are also, you know, in a new offense for everybody still this year. They are still only, you know, 10 games into a brand new offense for everyone. So you do see that there are times, you know, I think that, you know, you look out and, you know, you have to wonder, you know, is everybody in the right place at the right time? And then with all the pressure that's coming, you're making very, very quick sight adjustments. The receivers, you know, have got to you know, change their and adjust their routes based on blitzes and things like that. And, you know, it takes time to develop that timing and rhythm in an offense. And it all happens so fast, you know, it's hard to say, you know, was the receiver in the right place? Did the quarterback go to the right place with the ball? These are things that come with time of an offense working together.
Well, and I think part of the problem with Jordan Cameron and what he's seeing is just a complete lack of opportunity and production in the first seven games of the season with Brian Hoyer and Brandon Whedon. He averaged 7.7 targets a game, 73.6 yards, and scored 6 touchdowns in those 7 games. Since Jason Campbell's become the quarterback, he's seen 5.3 targets per game, so he's losing basically 2.5 per game. He's down to 38 yards per game and has failed to score a touchdown. So this, it's a significant loss. This was a guy who really was the de facto number two receiver on this team, the second most important piece of the offense. And since Jason Campbell has taken over, whether it be because of defensive adjustments, and I'm not sure that's really the reason, Jordan Cameron has gone away, and I think you're exactly right, Mary Kay, that getting him going again and giving that second legitimate threat in the passing game is going to be key for this Cleveland Browns team if they want to be able to score enough to win football games down the stretch.
Well, yeah, I think so. And, you know, you just have to think, you have to know that when a player breaks out in the way that Jordan Cameron has this season, all of a sudden, you know, teams are going to game plan to do everything that they can to neutralize that player and to take him out of the game. And that's, you know, that's a big part of what has gone on. Does he need to work more with Jason Campbell? Perhaps. Maybe they need to get together and watch some film together. Maybe they need to work on, you know, on their communication with each other a little bit better. And again, you know, that's something that, you know, we can explore as the week goes on. But those two need to get it cranked up.
What about the running game, where we saw some, at least some positive signs, and saw a breakout run by Chris Obanaya, and generally the involvement of Obanaya, the involvement of Fozzie Whitaker, in addition to Willis McGahee, but Obanaya, Whitaker, the more productive backs in that game against Cincinnati, and the emphasis that this team seems to want to have to change things up, maybe get more perimeter running involved. What's your thought on that, and based on what you've been seeing and hearing this week, I mean, talking with folks around the locker room this week, Mary Kay, your sense of where that might be headed as they go against the 26th ranked run defense in the NFL Sunday?
Well, you know what? I mean, Chris Obanaya is the only one that has broken a long run this entire season. So if you could get that out of him, you know, I think that you kind of need to go with the hot hand a little bit and continue to try to see what you can get out of him at tailback. It's a little disturbing to see Bobby Rainey out there running for 130 yards and becoming the fantasy
160.
Star. 160 yards and becoming the fantasy star of the week. So that was a little tough to take. You know, I keep thinking every week, you know, they're going to get something out of Willis McGahee, and it's not happening. So I think you need to find a way to get you know, with some blocking done for Chris Obanaya, however you have to do that. And, you know, some of the ways that they planned on doing that, you know, Marquise Gray is injured now. You know, so it's they're going to have to still continue to be creative. They're going to have to find ways to do that. Pull somebody over again, you know, a little bit more Billy Wynn at fullback if they need it. Whatever they have to do, Chris Obanaya right now is their best chance to run the football.
Let me ask you guys both this question. Now that you brought up the Bobby Rainey thing, do you think at the time when he was released, the reason that he was released rather than McGahee was because they still wanted to see if Willis had anything left, and that the presence that he brought as a veteran was maybe as important off the field as what he could do for them on the field this year?
Well, maybe, and I think, you know, I think because they had Fozzie Whitaker to return kickoffs and help out on special teams a little bit, you know, I think that, you know, maybe perhaps they felt that they had sort of the same guy there, and they decided to go with Fozzie Whitaker, thinking that he could help them more in kickoff return. And I do think that there probably was some thought to having, you know, the veteran presence in the room, but it's, you know, it doesn't seem to be working the way that they hoped that it would, and you know, it looks like maybe they let one get away there a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I don't know that you could have projected what Bobby Rainey would be all about, but he did seem to have that physical prototype of what you were looking for, that smaller, explosive kind of guy that he is, and that this team again had intended to have from Deion Lewis. And it is the dimension that's clearly missing from this running game. I mean, you feel it, you see it, it's palpable. And I wonder if it's now become a case where you your ability to throw effectively when you've got – they haven't had a running game from day one of this season
right.
with Trent Richardson here, so I don't want to imply that something really changed there. But as teams see the trends and patterns of how your offense is being run, it seems like opponents have put that squeeze now down. And obviously with quarterback changes, they've just said, look, if you're going to beat us, you're always going to beat us with the quarterback's arm. And they don't – as they rightfully did, the Bengals said there's no way Campbell's having a third game in a row like he's had, like he had been having.
Well, you know, the other component to that is, first, a couple of things. You want to keep the play-action pass effective. In order to do that,
right.
you have to be able to –
That's what Nora was talking about. Right.
You have to be able to sell that run. So you want to be able to do it from that standpoint. But when you look at this past game, I mean, how much are you going to be able to run the football – after you fall so far behind. So I think, you know, this was the first game that they were going to come out and try to see what they could do with Chris Obanaya, giving him the ball more and mixing the other guys in. But when you're 31-13, you know, all bets are off at that point. And, you know, so I don't know that we've really seen yet what the plan is with sure. the run game.
And amazingly, it was the best running performance of the season for the Browns. 19 yeah. carries, 102 yards, 5.4 yards a carry. That's the best that they've done. And again, ironically, it comes in a losing effort. It's just, it's a mind-boggling game when you stare only at the box score and do not scroll up to look at what the final score was or how the game went down.
Well, the other part of that is that, you know, if you take out that one long
But that's
run,
what a running game's supposed to have.
Right. You're supposed to have that. But, you know, down for down, you know, if, you know, that one long run skews that average just a little bit.
Sure.
It wasn't like we are getting every tough yard that we need when we need it necessarily.
No, there was a lot lacking offensively, and the running game still was, even though, as Nathan points out, it was the best of what you had so far, which isn't much of a compliment at all.
No,
sad commentary. Excuse me. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the breakdown, and we'll do this again.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
She is Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. Check out her great work there in the Plain Dealer. We're going to be hearing from T.J. Ward in a little bit. Jameer Howerton sitting down with him. You're also going to hear from Gerard Cherry in this second hour forthcoming. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.